नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। सो टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो वन एंटाइटल्ड क्रिएशन चैप्टर नंबर 18 एंटाइटल्ड परीक्षित कर्स्ड बाय अ ब्राह्मणा बॉय टेक्स्ट नंबर 37 इति लंगित मर्यादाम् इति लंगित मर्यादाम् तक्षकः सप्तमेहनि दंशति स्म कुलांगारम् दंशति स्म कुलांगारम् चोदितो मे ततद्रुहम् चोदितो मे ततद्रुहम् इति लंघित मर्यादाम् तक्षकः सप्तमेहनि दंशति स्म कुलांगारम् चोदितो मे ततद्रुहम् इति लंघित मर्यादाम् तक्षकः सप्तमेहनि दंशति स्म कुलांगारम् चोदितो मे ततद्रुहम्। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। इति दास लंघित सरफासिंग मर्यादम एटिकेट तक्षक स्नेक बर्ड सप्तमे ऑन द सेवेंथ अहनी डे दंशति विल बाइट स्म सर्टेनली कुल अंगारम द रेचेड ऑफ द डायनेस्टी चोदितः हैविंग डन मे माय ततद्रुहम् एनमिटी टुवर्ड्स द फादर। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्रील प्रभुपाद की ट्रांसलेशन। द ब्राह्मणा सन कर्स्ड द किंग दस ऑन द सेवेंथ डे फ्रॉम टुडे अ स्नेक बर्ड विल बाइट द मोस्ट रिचेड one of that dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, because of his having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father. Translation, please repeat. The Brahmana's son cursed the king thus. On the seventh day from today, a snake bird will bite the most wretched one of that dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, because of his having broken the laws of etiquette by insulting my father. Purport. Thus the beginning of the misuse of Brahmanical power began, and gradually the Brahmanas in the age of Kali became devoid of both Brahmanical powers and culture. The Brahmana boy considered Maharaj Parikshit to be Kulangar, or the wretched of the dynasty. But factually, the Brahmana boy himself was so, because only from him did the Brahmana caste become powerless, like the snake whose poisoned teeth are broken. The snake is fearful as long as his poisoned teeth are there. Otherwise, he is fearful only to children. The personality of Kali conquered the Brahmana boy first, and gradually the other castes. Thus the whole scientific system of the orders of society in this age has assumed the form of a vitiated caste system, which is now being uprooted by another class of men similarly influenced by the age of Kali. One should see to the root cause of vitiation and not try to condemn the system as it is without knowledge of its scientific value. Om Agnyanti Mirandhasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Nadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we have this story of Maharaj Parikshit, Shamika Rishi and Shringi. So here we see there is a clash between the different orders of society, between different castes. So this caste system, these social orders have been designed for the human race for their upliftment. And that is done by Krishna. Chaturvarnya maya shishtam guna karma vibhagasya. So he has made this division, vibhaga. So if one follows the duties prescribed for a particular order, then he is acting according to Krishna's system. So in scriptures we see that there are six activities prescribed for the Brahmana caste. So those six activities are Yajan, Yajan, Patan, Patan, Dan, Pratitya. So these are the six activities prescribed for the Brahmanas. So out of these six, three are compulsory. Brahmanas must study the scriptures, they must worship the deity, and they must give charity. And the other three, teaching others the knowledge given in scriptures, or inducing others to worship the deity, or to accept different gifts. These are optional, and Brahmanas perform these activities to carry on their day-to-day activities, their necessities. But three are compulsory. And for Kshatriyas also various duties are there. They are administrators, they have to take care of the citizens. And sometimes a Kshatriya can also take up duties of a Brahmana. But for Kshatriyas it is prescribed that they can only accept, they can only act as Brahmanas, but they can only do the five activities except from accepting charity. Kshatriyas cannot do that. So Parikshit Maharaj, we see he is an example. He is well learned in Shastra. He is a pure devotee. Although he is acting as a Kshatriya, but actually he is the topmost Vaishnava. And a topmost Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana. He has all the Brahmanical qualities. Peacefulness, austerity, mind control, everything. So Shamika Rishi belonged to this caste of Brahmana, and his son Sringi thought that he is also a qualified Brahmana just because he is the son of a Brahmana. So that's where Kali Yuga began. This qualification just based on birth is not accepted in the scriptures. But Sringi thought, no, he is a Brahmana and he has this power to curse anyone. So he exercised that power. He cursed the king of the whole earth. So here it's Sringi says that iti langita maryadam, that the king has surpassed the etiquette. But actually, Prabhupada mentions that it's the other way around. Sringi has actually surpassed the etiquette. If he was a qualified Brahmana and he has the power to curse, so he should have thought a little bit that, okay, I have this power to curse, but I am cursing this great king. He should have seen his activities, that how he is protecting the whole kingdom. He may have consulted his father that, can we curse him? He has done this to you. He has put a dead snake in your on your shoulders. Can we curse him to die? But he did not do that. He became puffed up and he cursed the king. So a great Brahmana or a great Vaishnava, he is very careful in following this etiquette. So here the word for etiquette given is maryada, maryadam. In third canto as well, it's mentioned that following this etiquette amongst Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, it's very important. And if one doesn't follow it, one surpasses it, it's called maryada vyatikrama. So there's this discussion between Uddhava and Vidura is there in third canto, where Uddhava was going towards Badrikashram after Krishna left this planet. And then he met Vidura on the way. And Vidura was on pilgrimage because he had left the kingdom of Dhritarashtra because he was insulted by Duryodhana. So he was roaming about visiting various places of pilgrimages and he met Uddhava. And he knew Uddhava's position. He knew that Uddhava is the greatest among all the Yadus. Yadus are the family members of Krishna who are closest to Krishna all the time. They are actively participating in various pastimes, very in close proximity with Krishna. And amongst all of them, Uddhava is the greatest. So he knew that what is the position of Uddhava. So he inquired that, please tell me more about Krishna's pastime. He told a little bit, but he wanted to hear more. He wanted to accept him as his spiritual master. But Uddhava thought that Vidura is actually of the age of my father. So it's not a good etiquette that I instruct him. So Uddhava did not surpass the etiquette. Or he did not come into the category of maryada vyatikrama. He did not surpass the proper behavior of a Vaishnava. So he directed Vidura towards Maitreya. He said, Maitreya is nearby, you please go and hear from him. He is also very learned. Because Krishna spoke these great signs of bhakti to Maitreya Rishi and Uddhava just before departing. So Uddhava was exhibiting this etiquette and he directed Vidura towards Maitreya. But here we see Sringi is not following any etiquette. He just cursed the king. And he called him Kulangaram, that you are the most wretched amongst your dynasty. But actually Sringi himself proved to be so. from him the downfall of Brahmana caste began. So he was actually the most wretched among the dynasty. So sometimes devotees also face this problem. When they start performing various devotional activities, some of their family members, they think, oh, he or she is the most wretched among our dynasty, you know. They are not carrying forward the ways that our dynasty acts in. They are doing something different. They are going different way. 99% of population is going this way and these devotees are going this way. So some family members, they consider that, you know, they are not fit to be called as our family member. They feel ashamed to introduce devotees sometimes to other people, their family and friends. There's one devotee I met in Delhi last month. He is practicing Krishna consciousness, and he's the only one who is practicing Krishna consciousness in his family. His wife is also not practicing much, and he has a small daughter, and he is a businessman. He has a business with his father, and he runs a business with his father and brother. And his father is like a dominating personality, like a Hitler. So what this devotee does is, so his father doesn't like all these devotional activities, so he doesn't show him that he is performing so much. When he goes to temple, he's totally different personality, and at home, he's like, oh, he's not doing anything. He wakes up in the morning, chants all his 16 rounds, and then goes to sleep again. And his father, of course, wakes up late, and he doesn't know that he has chanted his 16 rounds already. So if he sees that he's performing devotional activity, so he thinks that he's just not fit to be in our dynasty. So like that, devotees have to face that. And this is a wrong conception. So same way, Sringi considered Maharaj Parikshit to be the most wretched amongst his dynasty, but actually he was one of the best in his dynasty. So that's why the Pandavas, before retiring, they established Maharaj Parikshit as the ruler. So Parikshit, his name itself is very important. He is an examiner. Parikshan, it means to examine. So he's teaching us that we should also examine and introspect. Most of us, of course, we have not had this fortune of seeing Krishna within our mother's wombs, but Parikshit Maharaj had that. But he is actually teaching us that we should examine, we should search for Krishna everywhere. So in this world, the position that we have is of relativity. So if we study this relativity, we can see what are the drawbacks in being in a relative position. Krishna is supreme absolute truth. So these are the opposites, relative and absolute. So we have to turn towards the absolute, which is Krishna. So by discussing that, what are the drawbacks of this relativity, we can see that we must turn towards the absolute. So even Einstein had this theory of relativity, in which we see that we actually observe a particular occurrence of an incident based on where we are situated. We see everything through our position. And that is called relativity. We are seeing everything from what we think it is, how we judge it. So this is relative. So this, there is an example, like if you see there is a train, you're on a platform and one train passes by, and a person in the train is sleeping. He's sitting down and he's sleeping. So the person who is sitting next to him, according to him, he is sleeping, he is not acting at all. But according to the person who is standing on the platform, and when the train passed by and he saw that person, according to him, that person is going with a great speed. But according to the person who is sitting next to him, he thinks he is just lying down, he is not even moving. So this is the relative position. And this relativity actually leads to different dualities that we see in this world. Good, bad, positive, negative, heat, cold, all these things. On the absolute platform, there is no duality. So this Krishna consciousness helps us to come on the absolute platform. And if we remain on this relativity platform, then it's very uncomfortable actually. We don't belong to this relative platform. This relative platform creates prison walls around us. These limitations, various limitations. And these limitations are very, they are like not fulfilling, they are unwholesome. So that's why we always act in these relative positions and we don't feel fulfilled or wholesome. So that's why Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita that you leave these dualities and just be equipoised. Sukha dukhe samay kritva labha labha jaya jayo tato yuddhaya yujyasva nevam papam avapsasi. That you just make this gain or loss or heat, cold and victory and defeat, make everything equal on one platform. You see from the absolute platform. Then you will not incur any sins, and that's why you should fight like that. And at another place in second chapter he says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya, and then later he says, this is due to sense perception. And you have to tolerate all these dualities in this world. Because of this, these dualities, our knowledge is also becomes very limited. We cannot see very broadly due to these relative positions. When we are conditioned by these relativities, we are like buying into these different defects. We will have defects. As we know, these four defects of conditioned souls, that our senses are imperfect, we are under illusion, we have a tendency to make mistakes, and we have a tendency to cheat others. In technical and correct terms, it's called Brahma Pramada Vipralipsa Karana Patava Asha Vidya Vakya Nahi Dosha Ehi Sabha. So those who are the sages, those who act on the absolute platform, they don't exhibit these defects. Their knowledge is not limited. So these defects are present in all conditioned souls, not in the learned sages. If we, for example, if we go to the South Melbourne beach, we can see the horizon and we can, if we have good vision, we can just see whatever is present in that horizon. We cannot see beyond that. So this is the limitation. And this limitation is exhibited by Sringi here. He couldn't see that. He could just see the immediate incidents. That, okay, king came there, he insulted my father, so I should curse him and he should die. So very, very limited vision. He didn't see, okay, what are his other activities. He may have done made a small mistake. So his vision was only till the horizon. He couldn't see further like that. But if we are on the absolute platform, on this pure platform, where these constraints are not there, then we can actually fully taste the nectar. We can expand our vision like that. So there's this word Krishna, and there's one very nice word which rhymes with Krishna. It's called Trishna. Instead of K, you just put T. And Trishna means thirst. So the living entity has this thirst to enjoy the nectar, Anandamaya Vyasa. But due to this relativity on material platform, we cannot quench this thirst. The only way to quench this thirst is approach Krishna. So instead of having thirst for this material thing or that material thing or this engagement, that engagement, we should have thirst for Krishna. And that's called Krishna Trishna. So we should have this type of thirst. But once the living entity comes under illusion, he wants to quench this thirst in this material world. So here in this material world, there's different variety exhibited by material nature. That's the beauty. Maya creates so much variety here, and living entity thinks, okay, maybe this engagement did not satisfy me, I was not fulfilled, so maybe this one would be better, like that. So this variety makes life tough. And again, the attempts are defeated on the material platform. But if we go towards this spiritual platform, then we can access the spiritual variety. As we know, if we go to a place, it's called emporium. In an emporium is a place where you have great variety of few things. We have emporiums here as well. And I remember, like in India, here in Australia, if you go, wherever you go, there's some varieties, but like there's only one major language, and you know, everyone, mostly they speak English. But in India, if you go, there are so many different states. Everywhere there's a different language, different type of food, different type of dresses. So there's Delhi, of course, is the capital. There's on one main road in the center of the city, there are different emporiums of different states. And there you see the variety. Okay, you go to the emporium of which belongs to this particular state, you'll find different variety of things which come from that state. So like that, when living entity comes in this material world, he wants to satisfy his desires by just accepting these different varieties. But whatever item we choose in this material world, it's very temporary, ephemeral. Its existence is very very temporary. So these temporary things won't satisfy us. This nice Vaishnav song, "Ei dhana yavana putra parijana ithe ke ache paritithi re kamala dala jala jivana talamala bhajau hari padaniti re." So this our wealth, youthfulness, family members, there's so much variety in these things, but they won't actually bring us real happiness. They are just like a drop of water on lotus petal. The position of a water drop on a lotus petal is very unsteady. It can fall down any time. So that's our position in this material world. Any time we can leave the body. We generally hear like this, oh, so you should be very serious in devotional service because you can leave the body anytime. Death can come anytime. But there are things worse than death which can come anytime also. If someone is just paralyzed or has so much pain due to some disease, that's worse than death. That's why so many people want to commit suicide. There are so many suicide cases. Some are successful, some are not successful. Not everyone can actually also kill themselves. It's not easy to kill yourself. They are in a situation which is worse than death, so they think death would be better, like that. So that's our situation. So we cannot sustain anything on relative platform. People are trying to have permanent things, permanent happiness, and the society encourages this way of life. Even the government encourages this way of life, which is materialistic. So they are all agents of Kali, basically. Even the government, if they are not Krishna conscious, they are promoting sinful activities. and they want permanent happiness. So that's not possible. In Australian government, there is a department called National Sustainability Council. And every year they give these reports, and they want to see that how society is going forward. And we want to sustain our happiness. We want to give, as you know, at least same happiness to our children and grandchildren. So this is the illusion that, okay, we are temporary. Subconsciously, we know that we are temporary. But people want to stay immortal through their children and grandchildren. Okay, I won't be there, but my grandchildren will be there. So let me earn now so that they will enjoy. And I will enjoy like that. Some part of me will be there like that. So this report by National Sustainability Council, so it identifies that what will help the future generation to sustain this happiness. But on material platform, nothing can be sustained. Every attempt is temporary. Every attempt results in temporary results. So this is a great puzzle which we face, that what to do then? We are here, we have different objects, different engagements, and we engage in them, we derive some happiness. What else to do? Why are not we fully satisfied? We have everything possible in front of us. We can engage in all sorts of activities. Then why are not we satisfied? So this is a puzzle. Materialist thinks, okay, we have senses and there are sense objects. So it's very natural. If you are thirsty, there is water, you drink water. You know, if you have this urge, you just satisfy. Objects are present in front. You just engage. But devotees or practicing transcendentalists, they know that our real purpose is to go back home, back to Godhead. And these material sense objects, they are like obstacles. So we cannot get rid of the sense objects, then there won't be anything left in the world, because everything is a sense object for someone. Even stool is a sense object for the hog. He wants to enjoy that. So we cannot get rid of the sense object. So what to do? How can we actually enjoy? The sense objects are temporary. So there is this, some philosophers, it's mentioned in one purport in 11th canto, that how some philosophers say that, okay, see, we want to enjoy, right? And you say, oh, everything is temporary, sense objects are temporary. So there it says, some philosophers say that, okay, you say there is a beautiful woman and she won't be remain beautiful all the time. Very soon she would be like an old woman. Then why, you know, what's the use to engage in that activity? But these philosophers say, okay, that woman may become old, but there would be a young woman all the time, right? So, but there is a fallacy in this statement, because the enjoyer, the so-called enjoyer, and the so-called enjoyed object, both are under the purview of time. There may be a beautiful woman all the time, but you won't be there to enjoy. You will become old and die. So the senses and the sense objects, both are under the purview of time. Both are temporary. And time is, Krishna comes as time to kill everyone, to kill all the materialists. For devotees, Krishna comes as the most loving reciprocator. So we have to not get rid of the sense objects, but we have to get rid of our mentality to enjoy the material sense objects. And then we can we can see the relation of those sense objects with Krishna. Anasaktasya vishyan yatharam upayunjata nirbande Krishna sambande yuktam vairagya mukchate. So we use these material things in service of Krishna. We see the sambandha, nirbande Krishna sambandha. We see that, okay, this is energy of Krishna, we use it in Krishna's service. And then it's no longer remains, it's no longer poisonous, then we can utilize it properly for Krishna's service. So this is the cure, this is the remedy, that we don't get rid of things, but we see them in correct position. So we get attached to these different things, material things, by their association. So the remedy is dissociation. If you see the correct position of different things, then we are established in the proper position. So we use these things as much as required. We engage in material activities as much as required for the purpose of serving Krishna. So we keep this, we have a material body, so body has its needs, we feed it, we take rest. But we do all these activities, so-called material activities, just so that we are capable to serve Krishna. So we use this body as an instrument to serve Krishna as long as we can. If we cannot use it anymore, then we give it up. So like that. So we use it as much as we can, rather than just enjoy it for ourselves. This body is meant to give Krishna pleasure. In conditioned state, Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita introduction, he writes that in conditioned state, there are two psychic divisions of this material consciousness. One division is that the conditioned living entity thinks that he is the enjoyer and that he is the creator. But actually, the living entity is neither the creator nor the enjoyer. If he identifies that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and Krishna is the supreme creator, and I am just a co-operator, Prabhupada uses this term, that we are the co-operators. If we cooperate with Krishna in his plan, then there is satisfaction. Otherwise, there is no enjoyment, no satisfaction. So to dissociate ourselves with all these material things, or our material tendency to enjoy these things, the way recommended in this day and age is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So in all the Vedas, actually, there is no other process which is more powerful than chanting Hare Krishna. So this most powerful process works in this most degraded age. Other things will work, but the disease has reached its dangerous, it has crossed the dangerous limits in Kali Yuga. This disease to enjoy material sense objects. So this can be easily cured by this process of chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes mind is agitated, or most times in Kali Yuga, Prayana Alpa Isha Sabya Kala Vasvin Yugejana Manda Sumand Matyo Manda Bhagya Upadrata. Mind is always agitated. So what to do when we are chanting, mind is agitated? We just chant louder. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we chant, Krishna is dancing on our tongue. So we may have had this great career of sinful activities. We may be the most sinful. But we see in Krishna Leela how Krishna, when he danced on the hoods of the serpent, Kaliya, he vomited blood and all his poison went away like that. So our tongue may be so poisonous. We are not habituated to utter holy name. But if we chant, then Krishna is dancing there. And our snake-like tongue, all the poison will go away and we'll become pure. So that's the process given. So to materialists, we may not be able to explain straight away, but slowly, maybe our family members or maybe our friends or whoever we meet at our work, we may not be able to explain them on which platform we are trying to act on. But slowly we can, by examples, we can explain them. It's called Shakha Chandra Nyaya, that a child is first taught a simple thing and then he's, then you introduce the more difficult thing. If you want to show the moon, first we show the branches of a tree. That, okay, see, this is a tree, you know, this is a tree, and there are branches. And see, through the branches, there is a moon there, which is far away. The same way, it's explained that this Shakha Chandra Nyaya. So, by using these analogies, different examples, our whole life is like an example, we can teach others. Otherwise, it's very hard to understand Krishna, who is on the absolute platform. And unless we understand Krishna's position, his opulences, we cannot leave this relative platform. We cannot see beyond these relativities. So we have to understand that Krishna is the origin of everything and we are his parts and we act on that absolute platform. Then we go beyond this mundane relative platform. The Chatushloki Bhagavatam, these instructions spoken by Krishna to Brahma, there is the first verse, it's Aham Evasam Evagre, Nanyad Yad Sadasat Param, Paschad Aham Yadetacha, Yova Shisheta Sosmiham. He says, Brahma, that it was I who was present before the creation, and it is I who am present now, and I will be present even after the annihilation. And such a person is absolute. It doesn't matter to him what, on relative platform, what's happening, manifestation or unmanifestation of this material cosmos. He is present always and we are his eternal parts. So what are the activities which will help us to go to that platform? So chanting Hare Krishna is, or any activity of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pad, Sevanam, and so on. All these activities are on the absolute platform. So if we are in doubt sometimes that, oh, should I do this or that service, is this for me or not? We just chant Hare Krishna and we can be sure that yes, this is for us. This chanting the names of Krishna. Because Krishna is non-different than his names. Abhinnatvam nama namino. So by chanting these holy names of Krishna, by associating with permanent things which are associated with Krishna, like devotees, we can get rid of this temporary relative platform. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Thank you. Thank you for your nice exposition, because I think Shrimi has a tunnel vision. Like if more
tunnel, yeah.
What happens is, like the patient goes to glaucoma, there's too much fluid in the eye. Mm. And the vision becomes like that.
No.
So that's what Shrimi is showing us. He's thinking only of his father on a very flimsy platform.
Yeah.
And not realizing the position of the king, Parikshit Maharaj. How exalted he is, the emperor. And he's valuing everything at distance. But because of the impudence, as mentioned earlier, and with the study, impudence and then Shama and Sati and completely fucked up situation that he couldn't survive anything except to punish the person who put a garland around the father's neck. And the father was not disturbed at all. He just threw it on one side for the other snake. So the tunnel vision is the worst thing one can. And then he said, if we chant on the platform, then everything, all the inequities, materialities are destroyed. And we are sleeping.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vittai Gaur Premanande.